Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Author Chats, hosted by Elizabeth Kelly. In each episode, we talk with writers about their recent work. What inspired them? What challenges did they face? And what impact will their work have on your life?
Welcome to Author Chats. I'm Elizabeth Kelly. Today, we are honored to have with us from Melbourne, Australia, John Safran, to talk about his book, God'll Cut You Down, The Tangled Tale of a White Supremacist, a Black Hustler, a Murder, and How I Lost a Year in Mississippi. Welcome, John.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. John, you get the prize for being the guest from the most faraway place. I've had authors from London and from Ireland, but never from Melbourne, Australia. So a thousand thanks for joining us, and I'm glad we negotiated the time difference. I think originally I had you booked in the middle of the night.
Okay, no, I don't mind being interviewed in the middle of the night. Sometimes it's sort of fun being in a half-dream state and sort of having
well,
to do something
well,
with your
speaking
life.
Of fun, your book was not only compelling and important, but it was also great fun. So I've got to ask you the most obvious question. How did a filmmaker, a documentarian from Melbourne, Australia, come to Rankin County, Mississippi, in order to cover a murder mystery?
I'd done a documentary that was a bit of fun, a documentary series. Some of my documentaries, people, when they're trying to describe it to people who don't know them, they go, oh, it's, you know, a bit Michael Moore, a bit Louis Theroux, maybe even a bit Borat, although usually not that. Yeah, a bit Borat, I guess. And so I was in Mississippi doing one of these little documentaries, and I pranked a white supremacist called Richard Barrett, and I got a saliva sample off him and took it to a DNA testing facility, then returned to a meeting he was holding with the results and announced the results, and, you know, he had some African DNA. And anyway, he started legal action against me for this little prank documentary, and so we could never put the story to air, and that was that. But then a year later, he ends up getting murdered by a young black guy, and I'm just really shocked because I'd spent some time with this guy, and, you know, and so I returned to Mississippi to try to get to the bottom of what happened.
And the person who was accused of murdering Richard Barrett and who ultimately pled guilty was a young man, is a young man, by the name of Vincent McGee. So tell us a little bit more about the two major characters in your book, that is to say, Richard Barrett and Vincent McGee. Who were they? Where did they come from? And what made them tick?
Well, Richard Barrett was actually not born in Mississippi. He was born in New Jersey, and then his family moved to New York when he was quite young. So he didn't grow up in the South. And then after the Vietnam War, he decided to head off to Mississippi as a 20-year-old, and he he's tried to start up a sort of like a white nationalist movement in Mississippi. And everyone thought he was a bit strange, this guy, because to be considered a Mississippian, it's like, you know, you have to have roots there in Mississippi. And who's this northerner who sort of suddenly appeared out of nowhere and, you know, is trying to be more southern than the southerners. And, he tried a number of ways to set up different white nationalist groups, and it was always a bit murky about how successful he actually was, because he went out of his way to, you know, through pamphlets and later the internet, to sort of present himself as this leader with a lot of followers. But did he ever really have these followers, or was that part of a scam? And if he didn't have a lot of followers, was it because he was you know, he'd made stuff up in, his head. Like, did he really believe it himself? Like, was he a bit crazy or whatever? So anyway, that was Richard Barrett. But I mean, asking who he was, that sort of, you'll have to shut me off at some point, because I could go off for, I could go on for like days days.
Well, and that's fine, but we only have 15 minutes. But one of the many bizarre things about Richard Barrett, one of the many bizarre things that you covered in his book, is that although he was a quote-unquote white supremacist, he lived in a predominantly African-American neighborhood, and all of the people in the neighborhood thought he was a really nice guy.
Yeah, that's true. And it's like, why did he end up in that black neighborhood? And I think one of the reasons was, like, it would have been economic. Like, he was a bit of a, he was very frugal. And I think he picked up a house, like, at some kind of tax sale that was really cheap. But, yeah, I think he had a bit of a love-hate relationship with black people.
And tell us a little bit more about Vincent McGee. Who was he? Who is he? And where is he now?
Well, he's a young black guy. So Richard Barrett, around the time of the murder, he was in his 60s. And Vincent McGee was just in his early 20s. And Vincent McGee had been imprisoned a couple of times, got in trouble. And he lived in the same street as Richard Barrett, just a few houses up. And he did yard work for Richard Barrett. And then this is where the story gets murky about what happened on the night of the murder. And one version of events is, you know, he did yard work for Richard Barrett. Richard Barrett was a cheapskate. Vincent had been exploited so many times in his life, and Richard Barrett was refusing to pay him for all this yard work he did. And then it just kind of blew up out of that, and he ended up murdering Richard Barrett. But the more provocative version is that they were involved in some sort of sexual tryst. And
don't tell us too much more, because I don't want to ruin this. And more importantly, I want everyone to buy a copy of your book. If you've just tuned in, we're talking with John Safran. He is the author of a wonderful book titled "God'll Cut You Down: The Tangled Tale of a White Supremacist, a Black Hustler, a Murder, and How I Lost a Year in Mississippi." Now, without telling too much of the plot, the case ultimately resolved not in a trial but in a plea bargain, like most crimes, like most cases in America resolve. Couple questions based on that. First of all, in Australia, do most cases resolve in a plea bargain? And secondly, if in fact this case had gone to trial, what would have been the defense's strategy, do you think, and how would it have played on the jury?
I don't know about whether most Australian trials or most Australian things don't go to trial because of plea bargain. So I'll have to post you a letter from Australia about that to answer that question.
Excellent. Your homework.
Yes, but I think if it went to trial, I mean that's a difficult one, because I think more the question is, imagine if instead of Vincent being this poor guy that no one cared about, if just say he was the son of the governor or something, and there was like unlimited money, and the lawyers were really going to try hard to get him off the hook. And I think if that happened, it would have been that they'd be trying to show that Richard Barrett had attacked Vincent in some way that justified that he had to fight back. But the problem Vincent always had was because he had a track record of violence against people. So it was hard for him to sort of say, "Oh, listen, this thing happened, and I'm not usually violent, and just in this case, I was forced to strike back against this 60-year-old man." That was the problem. Maybe if he had a totally clean record, it probably would have been easier.
Well, in the meantime, Vincent McGee encountered the same problems that many, all too many, defendants in our system encounter. That is to say, they lose faith for a variety of different reasons in their attorneys. And also, there were some allegations that Vincent was getting beat up by the officials in the Rankin County Jail, and he just wanted to get the heck out of there and go to prison and serve his time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's where it really shows how people live very different lives from me, and I imagine from you. I just can't relate to being in this situation where you're willing to just do anything to get out of this place, even, you know, and you know, even if it's not going to be good for your case in the long run. It's just like, I'm going to get beaten up, and like no one's going to believe me, and you know I don't even have access to Twitter to put this on Twitter that I'm getting beaten up or whatever. So, yeah, it really is a different planet, unfortunately.
And in the meantime, you developed a very interesting and rather close relationship with Vincent while you were putting together your book, and you also spent a lot of time with his family. What's been the reaction, if any, from Vincent as well as the McGee family?
Well, the McGee family, I've sent them the book, and, you know, they still talk to me on the phone every so often. And, you know, I talked to his brother on social media. So whatever they thought of the book, they didn't think bad enough of it to, like, cut me off or be angry. But I've tried to pluck out of them what they think of it, you know. And, you know, like, I sent a Facebook message to his brother saying, oh, did the book arrive? And he's like, yes. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, I was worried the book wasn't going to arrive. He goes, it's arrived. And then I just couldn't get out of him what he thought of it one way or the other. But, yeah, like, for instance, if, for the American edition, I wanted to get an update, and, you know, I rang up, and they were happy to give me more information and tell me more things. So, yeah, as I said, I haven't alienated them. But probably the weirdest reaction I got was from one of the white nationalists in the book, who he was annoyed by it, and he sent a email to the FBI, and he CC'd me on it, you know, to keep me in the loop. And he said that he feels that I had killed Richard Barrett, and that the whole book was this sort of, like, distraction tactic. And I think he was being sarcastic. I think he was trying to start trouble. But nevertheless, he did actually send that to the FBI. But I haven't noticed them knocking on my door yet. But maybe they're in my ceiling or something at the moment.
Oh, that's so bizarre. We're talking with John Safran. John is a writer from Melbourne, Australia, and we're talking with him about his book, God'll Cut You Down, The Tangled Tale of a White Supremacist, a Black Hustler, a Murder, and How I Lost a Year in Mississippi. God'll Cut You Down is the 2014 winner of the Australian Crime Writers Association Award for the Best True Crime Book. Now, the subtitle of your book, John, is How I Lost a Year in Mississippi. Did you really lose a year in Mississippi?
No, I don't think I did. I hate to do that thing where you throw your publisher under the bus or whatever. But, I don't know. I think that just sounds like a real kind of pumpy kind of American title or whatever. But, I had a really good, you know, like a good time is probably the wrong word, but definitely a stimulating time over in Mississippi. So, yeah, I don't have any sort of, like, regret
so
or that, anything
that's
like that.
That was puffery on the part of your publisher. Final question for you, John. What's next for you? Is another book in your future?
Oh, yeah, oh, absolutely. I really like writing because you get to just go away with, like, a notepad and a dictaphone, and, you know, you can poke around, and it's, in many ways a lot more stimulating and rewarding than doing a documentary where it's just, you know, you've got camera people and it's expensive and, you know, you can't spend a lot of time in places and I found the sort of like the minimalism of doing a book very exciting, and I definitely want to do it again.
Well, we do hope you write another book, and if you do, we'd love to have you on Author Chats. Thanks so much for joining. Fun talking with you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And thank you to all of my listeners. We've been talking with John Safran, a writer from Melbourne, Australia, about his book, God Will Cut You Down, The Tangled Tale of a White Supremacist, a Black Hustler, a Murder, and How I Lost a Year in Mississippi. Please remember, injustice anywhere threatens justice everywhere.